Well, hello and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and operators of the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. You can find us in Churchill, Tennessee, Highway 11W. We're in the Palace Shopping Center, and there we have created a hand car washing business for the sole purpose of, well, not only making money because we have to survive and eat, but we do it because we want to get God's Word out into the public ear. We want to do it in a way that is a little bit unique and a little bit unorthodox. And so what we do is we take the messages that you're hearing here on the radio and we play them on a loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And all you have to do is we put them on a small FM transmitter. So if you come to the Wash and Word in the parking lot area, anywhere in this parking lot area, it's about 150-foot radius, turn to 107.1 FM, and you can hear a word from the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are, again, it's a 24-hour-a-day ministry, so whenever you want to hear from God, if God has something maybe he wants to tell you, come by the Wash and Word, flip to 107.1 FM, and hear a message and a word from God. Now, we teach verse by verse because we believe that it's important that all of God's Word is going forward in today's society. Too many places have began cherry-picking the Word of God. And so we're in the book of 1 John. We'll get right. Let's just get back into it. If you have any questions, go to washandword.com, and you can download and listen to all of our archive messages. If you missed any, and information about the business and the ministry, you can find us. Wash, the letter N, word.com. Washandword.com. All right. In our last teaching, we were in chapter 2, and John has laid out straightforward some teaching about our standing and our relationship in Christ. Now, some of it was geared towards our weaknesses and our falterings and the sins that we commit. And he said, look, you're not perfect. You're going to sin even after coming to Christ, but here's what you do. And he gave us in 1 John 1:9 an outline of how to remove our sins. Just like in the Old Testament, they were able to remove their sins through the sacrifice and the shedding of blood of animals. And we don't have to do that anymore because Christ was our ultimate sacrifice, but there's still an atoning for our individual daily sins that must take place. And along with that atoning is confession of them. And if we confess them, we're not done, because we not only have to confess them, we have to repent from them, and that means to turn away and stop doing them. And then he goes on to say that if we continue in our sins, if we claim to know him yet do not obey him, we are liars. If we claim to walk in the light yet do not obey him, we walk in the darkness. If we claim to be Christ's ambassadors yet we continue to live in sin, we do not know him. And this presented us with a problem in our last teaching, and that's where we're going to have to pick it up, because I wasn't able to get into the parameters of this. If John's words are true, you know, Mr. Black and White, tell it like it is, off-the-cuff type of teaching that John does, if his words are true, then we would never be saved, nor would we ever have continual fellowship with the Lord. Because he says that if we continue in sin, we don't really know him, which means we weren't saved. If we continue in sin, we don't truly walk with him. But we know this isn't true, because even as Christians, we're going to make mistakes and we're going to sin. So where do we reconcile this? How do we connect these dots, as it were? Verse 4 tells us that we who are true believers must obey his commands. It says, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But again, we can't obey him, at least not all the time. So, I mean, isn't that what the commandments are for? The commandments show us that we are unable to be obeyers of the law. And if Christ has come to give us commands, we're probably just as equally unable to obey those. But if you recall, Jesus narrowed down the commandments. He said, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love others as you love yourself. Now, these are commands we can wrap our minds around. These are commands that we could actually obey. And we'll pick it up here in verse 7 in chapter 2. John says, dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. And this old command is the message that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Let's stop right there. This should sound familiar to those of us who've been walking with the Lord for a while, because Jesus kind of summed up what John just said in Matthew 22, and I just quoted it. He says, "Teacher," someone said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." So here's where we find that gap that seemed to be missing between what John was saying, that if we sin, we are not in him, we are liars, we are never truly saved, and, or I should say, versus the fact that even in him, we are still sinners. So this is where we begin to connect that dot. There is an unmistakable connection between obedience to God and love for others. And so maybe we're on to something here. You see, if someone were to try to explain the inner workings of an automobile to me, I honestly really wouldn't understand. But if they were to come to me and say, okay, maybe you don't understand how the pistons fire and the gas shoots through See, obviously I have no idea what the inner workings of a car is like. So that's actually proves my example. But what if someone were to come to me and say, hey, turn this key and it starts right up? Well, now that I can understand. I don't understand the workings of the inner parts of a car, but I do understand that turning a key starts it right up. So I can understand that. I can grasp that. And there are so many ins and outs to this Christian walk that one can get confused and maybe even discouraged when trying to grasp it all, or trying to take it all in, or trying to understand it all. And we see these scriptures that John has just read to us, and it just seems confusing. Like, I'm trying to live a life that's good. I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to be obedient. I'm trying not to sin, but I'm faltering. And John's telling me if I falter, I'm in trouble and dangers of the fires of hell. And Jesus says, apart from me, I never knew you. And the inner workings of the Bible and of grace can sometimes confuse, contradict, and misguide us. And so that's why Jesus took all of the commands and broke them down into these simple two: love God, love others. You see, the sum of an obedient life is to love one another. This is how we show the love of Jesus. This is how we do both. This is how we love God, and this is how we show that we are walking as obedient believers. We love others. We serve them. We witness to them. We share the love of Jesus through the gifts and the talents that God has given us. So ask yourself, am I sharing those gifts? Am I witnessing that testimony? Am I serving others with the free time or the special things God has given me? Because if you're doing these things, you're serving God and you're loving others. And what other proof of your salvation can you possibly provide? But if we're not doing these things, then we've got to go back to the drawing board and say, why? Why am I not serving others? Why am I not loving others? Why am I so bitter? Why am I so angry? Why am I so perturbed at how many people are, you know, fill in the blank? And I said several teachings ago that if Christianity were to become illegal tomorrow, would there be enough evidence against you to find you guilty? And when you stand in defense, you know, will you be able to prove that you were a Christian, so to speak? And it's the same thing when we get to Judgment Day, or we come face to face with Jesus. Are we going to be able to claim, well, I read the Bible, I prayed, I went to church every Sunday? Are these going to be enough? Listen, just as John summed it up and Jesus summed it up for us, I'd like an opportunity to try to sum it up. And I would put it this way. To walk as Jesus walked is to love the world as Jesus loved the world. To walk as Jesus walked is to love the world as Jesus loved the world. And I don't think there's any other proof that's going to hold up that to claim that, hey, are you a Christian? And if they look at your walk, and if your walk imitates Jesus's, then yes, we will be guilty of being a Christian. Verse 9 says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. And there we have it, folks. John putting a cherry on what has been a very challenging ice cream sundae so far in chapter 2. And so there you go. Hatred and an unlovable life towards others denotes a life that still walks in darkness. And if that's the case, we got to go back to our salvation experience. You know, we try so hard to make scriptures not so applicable. And this is why I think so many churches and pastors and preachers are avoiding some of the harder stuff in the Bible. Because people don't want to hear it. And if they hear it, they may walk out the doors and take their bank accounts with them. And those things that Jesus and these New Testament writers have said, they try to claim that, well, they don't really mean what they're saying. It doesn't apply to us. It doesn't apply to today. And that's what I love about John, the writer. He makes it inescapably clear to every Christian that they need to analyze and evaluate their walks. To analyze and evaluate their lives. And if it doesn't line up with the clear black and white scriptures of chapter 2, then we are playing games with God. And if we're playing games with God and we are dancing around the truth in an attempt to circumvent God's clear word, then woe unto you. Now, how's that for some hard truth? But listen, I'm not here to beat you up. In fact, let me tell you, I'll even tell you a joke here. It's pertinent to what I'm teaching, but let's lighten it up here for just a minute, all right? So a blonde has just gotten a new sports car and was out for a drive when she accidentally cut off a truck driver. The truck driver motioned for her to pull over, and when she did, he got out of his truck. He was angry, and he pulled out a piece of chalk from his pocket. He drew a circle on the side of the road, and he gruffly commanded the blonde, "Stand in that circle and don't move." He then went to her car and cut up her leather seats. And when he turned around, she had a slight grin on her face. So he said, "Oh, you think that's funny? Watch this." So he gets out a baseball bat of his truck and he breaks every window in her car. And when he turns around and looks at her, she has a smile on her face. Truck driver begins to get really mad. So he takes out a knife. He slices all four of her tires. Now she's just outright laughing. And the truck driver is really starting to lose it. He goes back to his truck. He gets a can of gas. He pours it all over her car. And he sets it on fire. He turns around and she's laughing so hard and she's about to fall down. "What's so funny?" the truck driver asked the blonde. And she replied, "Every time you weren't looking, I stepped outside the circle." Okay. Now, that may not be a funny joke, but it really ties in to what we're talking about here. And we're going to end with this. God is doing serious things here on earth and in our lives. And sometimes we are playing silly games. And friends, we're not fooling God. We're not stepping out of the circle, so to speak, when he's not looking. God won't be mocked. And we can read these scriptures and say that they apply to somebody else, but they don't apply to somebody else, do they? They apply to us. So we need to look at the words of God. We need to obey the commands that he's given. And we need to go be Jesus to the world and love our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors as we love ourselves. This is the only evidence that we have truly found and that we truly know Jesus Christ. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for joining me. Come back tomorrow again at this radio station, WMCH 1260 AM radio, 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. Join us over at the Washington Word. Don't forget to turn on 107.1 FM 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to hear these messages being played on a loop. All of our messages can be downloaded and listened to for free at washandword.com. And join me at Abundant Life Fellowship Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Have a blessed day.